Today, I want to discuss a subject that is very close to my heart. Many of those who have seen me grow up will know that I've had a love of this subject for many years, resulting in several scars and a few funny stories. The subject is, of course, fire. There are several events recorded in the Bible where God used fire to illustrate a point. Today, I would like to examine the parallels between fire and our spiritual growth. Before we get into the subject, here are some of the honourable mentions where God used fire. So just pop in your notes. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Moses and the burning bush. A bush that burned, but was never consumed. Exodus 13, verses 21 to 22. The pillar of fire, which led the Israelites out of Egypt. 1 Kings 18, verses 20 to 40. The incident of Elijah and the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. Then we have 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. The account of Elijah and the captains of 50, demonstrating that God doesn't look kindly on those who treat his servants with contempt. And of course, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. Pentecost, AD 31, when the Holy Spirit was given to the church and manifested itself as tongues of fire. In fire safety, there is a diagram known as the fire triangle, which shows the three ingredients needed to create and sustain a fire. These three sides being heat, fuel, and oxygen. So let's explore these components in a little more detail. The first is heat. Heat is required in order for ignition to occur. Unfortunately, combustion reactions also produce heat as they burn, further increasing the temperature of the fuel, which is the second side of the fire triangle. A fire cannot burn if there's nothing to burn. Thirdly is oxygen. It sustains the combustion. Oxygen is needed as it reacts with the burning fuel to release heat and CO2. Earth's atmosphere consists of about 21% oxygen, so there's plenty available to trigger a fire if the other two components are present. So let's start by examining heat. Without heat, there would be very little use for fire. No warmed houses, no cooking, no hot coffee. Heat can be compared with zeal in our spiritual lives. Just as fire without heat, our spiritual growth without passion or zeal for the way of God, it wouldn't be particularly useful to anybody. You'd have the words and go through the motions, but it wouldn't bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, as brought out in Galatians 5. Just like the coffee forgotten on your desk, it was once hot, but now it has cooled to the point where it is neither hot nor cold. There is a church where this attitude prevails, and we read of them in Revelation 3, and we will read verses 14 to 16. So that's Revelation 3, and we'll start in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Just as when you reach down to have a sip of your now lukewarm coffee, God spews out those who do not have the heat or zeal that God is looking for. Just as fire cannot survive without heat, neither can we without the heat of zeal. Mr. Armstrong wrote in the booklet, What Do You Mean, the Unpardonable Sin? But be sure of this, it is a dangerous thing for a truly converted Christian to grow lukewarm and careless and become a passive Christian. Perhaps most have temporary lapses in spiritual progress, but as soon as we wake up to such a lapse, repent immediately and seek God with our whole heart for a closer, more active spiritual walk with him. Mr. Armstrong was the man God put in charge to heat up his end time church, as he mentions in chapter 80 of his autobiography. Together, we have been given a job to prepare the way for Christ's return. It is a privilege and a responsibility no other generation has shared. It'll also mean a better reward. God rewards us individually according to our works, our zeal and wholeheartedness in supporting and carrying out the greatest task in this world. Without zeal, we will be utterly useless to God, as the only those who are fired up about living his way and teaching it to others in the future will be counted worthy to become very spirit-born sons of God. Now let's have a look at the second side of the fire triangle, oxygen, which can be compared with the Holy Spirit. Oxygen acts as a catalyst with fuel to create heat. The Apostle Paul explained in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and in John 14, Christ explains that the Holy Spirit works with our spirit to bring into remembrance all that God has said. Just as oxygen reacts with fuel to create heat, the Holy Spirit works with the spiritual fuel of God's word to create spiritual heat within us and to fuel our spiritual development. In the booklet, What Will You Be Doing in the Next Life?, Mr. Armstrong wrote, God's Spirit, first of all, is his very own life injected into you, the begottal of eternal life. You are now an heir of God, a joint heir, a co-heir with Christ, not yet an inheritor. The Holy Spirit injects into you, in you also the characteristics of God. First of these is love, not carnal or human love, but divine love, God's love. And a little further on he says, also it requires faith to keep God's commandments, and your faith is not strong enough. It requires Christ's faith, the same faith he exercised and lived by during his human lifetime. God also gives us this very same faith by the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit also imparts into you spiritual comprehension, the power to understand spiritual truths, and wisdom and patience and spiritual power. All of these are imparted to you by God, by his Holy Spirit, as his gift. But they are given to you to live by, to use, in order to grow spiritually in the knowledge and grace and to overcome. Just as a fire without oxygen will never warm anybody, so we without the Holy Spirit can never attain the zeal necessary to endure to the end and become a child of God. The third side is fuel, which can be compared with prayer and Bible study. Fuel is very important. The more fuel, the longer the fire will remain burning. Just as in our spiritual lives, the more fuel we have, the more the Holy Spirit can work with us to create zeal for God's character. This is brought out in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. That's 2 Timothy 2, and we'll read verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Without fuel, a fire will go out. Without daily contact with God and studying his word, we cannot grow spiritually, as the Holy Spirit will have nothing to feed on. Mr. Armstrong wrote this warning about running low on spiritual fuel. The converted Christian can lose the presence of God's Spirit by continued neglect. Neglect of prayer, neglect of Bible study, neglect of spiritual fellowship with God's people, or by continuing too close with friendship with unconverted people, letting participation with them in material interests, pleasures, sports, entertainment, causes neglect of spiritual interests. Don't misunderstand, a certain amount of diversion can be healthy, and you cannot avoid all contact with unconverted people, but never let it dominate in your interests and heart. To the Colossians, God says through Paul, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. That is, instead of seeking an interest in television shows or popular materialistic interests, actively seek more knowledge of Christ, more of the understanding that comes from God. Make this your main interest. Never let occasional diversion compete with it as your overall interest. A fantastic example of what happens when you only have two of the three sides, spiritually speaking, can be found in Matthew 13. So we'll read, start in Matthew 13, we'll start reading in verse 3. So that's Matthew 13, starting in verse 3. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Christ spoke in parables, that the masses would hear, but not understand. He then explains what he meant later in the same chapter, so we, his disciples, can understand what he meant by the seeds that fell by the wayside, which we read of in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away them that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Just like a fire that has fuel and heat, but is in a vacuum, it cannot burn. So this category had the knowledge and believed, but the Holy Spirit wasn't there to act as the catalyst to bring forth understanding. Continuing in verse 5 now. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depth in them of earth. And when the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Again, Christ gives us the understanding of this category later in verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of thy word, the word, by and by he is offended. This category had the Holy Spirit and had the words, but they did not believe in their hearts. They didn't have the zeal required to stick with it. And just like a fire without heat, they had the potential for a fire, but it was just a pile of fuel waiting ignition. The next group is found in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The explanation is found in verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This category had heat and oxygen of the Holy Spirit, but were careless and fell behind in prayer and in Bible study, and gradually drifted away, just as a fire without fuel will sputter and go out. And finally, there is the group found in verse 8. But unto others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This group is what God is looking for, as the explanation in verse 23 confirms. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bringeth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This group had all three ingredients: zeal, the Holy Spirit, and daily Bible and prayer. Their spiritual fire burns strong and bears much fruit. So which is most important? Can a fire that has no fuel burn for long? Can a fire that is in a vacuum burn at all? Can a fire that has no heat ever burn? Just as all these questions are answered with no, our spiritual growth is the same. Without all three ingredients, we are nothing.